We're going to be starting Matthew chapter 26 this morning. Matthew chapter 26. Hope everybody had a wonderful week. God gave us some great weather. Got a little bit of rain. Could you praise the Lord for that? We need a little bit. It's good to have. We went kayaking. Our young men's outdoor adventure, or whatever it was called. So we went kayaking on Monday, left Monday morning, and went on a kayaking trip. So we started in straight east of my house on the Eel River, and went down, hit the White River, and camped where the Eel and the White River meet. And then we went from there, which is at Worthington, went from there to Bloomfield. And then we looked at the weather and decided it wasn't worth spending another night in the rain, so we quit a little early. But I marked it on the map, so if you'd like to see, it's on one of those maps back there. We marked it just for curiosity's sake. Brother Val, we saw a river otter. That was pretty neat. And we saw probably over a dozen mature bald eagles on the river, and quite a few juveniles that don't have the white plumage yet. And so that was really neat. It was neat to be able to see that, and just the different experiences. Went about 25 miles, and if you're not conditioned for it, that is a lot of paddling. I definitely have to do a little more. I don't know what you do to condition for that, but anyway, thank you for praying for us. The guys did a good job, and we had safety. So I told them, guys, low as the water was, if you tip your kayak over and you think you're drowning, just roll over and you'll probably be okay. And so anyway, Matthew chapter 26, thank you for praying for us. I enjoy spending time with our teens. We went to a teen rally this last Friday evening down at White River Baptist Church, and Brother Abdel Judah from up at Hammond preached, and he did a great job. And so thank you for all your prayers for that. Matthew chapter 26, this morning we're going to talk about, once again, people of the cross. We're going to talk about Simon Peter and his denial. And so we're going to look at his life in a little bit today. Simon Peter, denial on the cross. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse number 57, if you would. Bible says, "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Look down at verse number 69, same chapter, Matthew 26, verse 69. Bible says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come to your house, God. Thank you for the safety that you give us on the way here this morning. And God, the way you just meet our needs, take care of us. Thank you for each person that is here this morning in the Sunday school class. Lord, I don't know everything in their life, but Lord, they've made an effort to be here this morning. And God, I thank you for that. Lord, help us to honor you in the things that we do, the things that we say. And Lord, I pray that we would just glorify you in everything. Help me this morning as we look at Simon Peter. God, help us to live our lives in such a way that would that we would honor you, that we would own the fact that we are a Christian. And Lord, help me to be better at this. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the way it speaks to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. The word deny or denied means to disown, something or someone, or to abstain from something. Okay, that's what the word deny means. So we use the phrase deny yourself at times, and that means to abstain or to disown what you would think. Well, I could do that. That could be mine, but I'm going to deny myself. Okay, so that's what the word deny means. And you know, I like the Apostle Peter. I like the fact that, you know, I know that John went with Jesus as much as he could because he knew some of the priests. So John went with Jesus into this area. But, you know, and we talk about Peter and how he denied Christ, but he was really the only one other than John that we see that even followed Jesus into this place. Okay? And so I think sometimes we knock him a little bit, but I'm also, he at least had the guts to go in there. And, you know, if they were doing all these things to Jesus, it wouldn't be out of place for them to do them to his disciples too, to scourge them, to buffet them, to mock them. And I think many times when it really comes down to the nitty gritty of it, the denial that we have or the weakness that we have in denying Christ many times is from embarrassment. There's been, you know, I think there's times in all of our lives, you could go back to things that you have denied, you know, especially kids. You know, kids deny everything, right? You say, you know, you've got four kids in your house, or I've got four kids in my house, and there's a mess on the floor, okay? Who did this?
Nobody.
No one did it. No, it's amazing how many things the not me ghost, right? The not me ghost did. And they, you know, it's their toy. And you probably saw them playing with it. And they will still, it wasn't me. It was, you know, and now that Lydia's our youngest and the other three are a little bit older, you know, everything seems like it falls, and rightfully so half the time. Everything seems like it falls, Lydia did it, you know. And she hasn't quite, she's getting there to the denial stage. She hasn't quite got completely to the denial stage that she's learned, you know, that part of our sin nature yet, I guess. She just kind of looks at you and grins and is like, well, she probably did do it. But in all of our lives, there's things that, you know, something happens and you want to deny it. You know, your dog chews up something of the neighbor's and it's like, well, that ain't my dog. I don't know whose dog that is. and so in all of our lives, I think there are these things that we deny. You know, anybody that has a car accident, you know, everyone denies, oh, it wasn't my fault. I didn't do that. You know, and even the insurance companies basically tell you to deny everything, all right? I don't know why, you know, anyway. But, I didn't run the red light. When 15 witnesses around you said that, yes, they ran the red light. But everyone wants to deny it. They want to disown it and say, that's not mine. Now, if something good happens, yeah, that was mine. But nobody wants to own the things that are bad. Okay, and so that's kind of what denial is. Some people live their lives in denial, honestly. They don't want to admit the things that are true. Okay, they don't want to, you know, I mean, I've been losing my hair for years since I've been in college, you know. And so I could be like, well, I'm fine. I'm not losing my hair. No, I mean, I could say that. Obviously, the truth of the matter is, yeah, I'm going to go bald, and at some point I'm just going to shave it all, okay? At some point in life, I don't care. Now, when I was dating my wife, I was getting thin when I was dating my wife, and I'm glad she didn't marry me for my hair, because we would have marriage problems right now. But, I was like, no, I'm not. My hair's not getting thinner, you know. That's not me, you know. But the truth of the matter is like, you know, then you get a mirror and you look at, you know, the mirror in the mirror, and it's like, oh yeah, there's nothing back there anymore, you know. And but in times, there's just things in our life that we don't want to own, okay? And that's what the word denial means. And we see here that I am thankful that Peter went to the certain spot that he said, you know, at least he went in there. At least he was following Jesus. You know, I mean, I know that and we're going to look at this here in a moment. I know that the Bible says they all forsook Jesus and fled. But Peter's also the one that first of all picked up his sword and whacked off Malchus's ear. Okay? And at some point, yeah, he did deny Christ. But he went a lot farther. He was willing to go farther than most of the other disciples were willing to go. Okay? And so we're going to look at Peter. So I kind of wanted to give Peter an attaboy first. Because, you know, I think he was deserving of that. But Peter did deny Christ. And Jesus knew that he was going to deny him. And Jesus foretold that. And Jesus even gave him the convicting thing that would happen. And I'm thankful. I've got a message I'm going to preach sometime. I'm thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And however that happens, the Lord has a way of giving us those cock-crowing moments. That, you know, we may be in complete denial, but then something happens that says, that was truth. Okay? And I'm thankful for those cock-crowing moments. Let's look at Peter for a moment this morning. Let's go back to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16, we're going to look at verse number 13. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, all right, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. So they, this is being the disciples as a group, they said, you know, some people say you're all these things. He saith unto them, verse 15, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. All right? So Simon Peter very emphatically said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. So Peter was a loyal follower. And I don't think there is any disputing that fact. That Peter was a loyal follower of him. Go to back to John, if you will. Flip back to John chapter number 6. John chapter 6, we'll look at verse number 66. John chapter 6, verse 66. The Bible says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? And last week we talked about Judas Iscariot. So Peter once again says here, I believe. I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. So two different times, Peter professed openly that he believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, and the Son of the living God. Peter had a track record, if you would, of being loyal to Jesus. And like I said, he's the one that followed Jesus. He's the one that was willing to fight for Jesus. Okay, I think Peter has proven that he was willing to follow. He was willing to be loyal. Peter also said, however, that he would never deny Jesus. And I think many times in life we say things with the best of intentions. But let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Go back to where we started. Matthew chapter 26. Look at verse number 31. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. The Bible says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And then here's the prophetic statement that Jesus told him. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. And I just want to point out here, you know, Peter said this in the right crowd. It's pretty easy when you're in the right crowd, the right environment, to be gung-ho, all right? But when it really comes down to the nitty-gritty is when you are presented with the opposition, okay? It's easy to cheer for Michigan, right? It's easier to cheer for Michigan unless you're in a, you know, Buckeye Stadium. And then it becomes a little more difficult, right? Okay? And vice versa. I don't care what it is. I mean, it's easier to be a pro, whatever, Ford guy as long as everyone around you is pro Ford, or, and you could throw out whatever thing it is, okay? It's easier to be a, you know, I like Milwaukee tools. It's easier to wear the Milwaukee shirt when everyone is, you know, got Milwaukee stuff on, okay? But you know what happens is when people start pushing back, it's like we become a little more quiet, a little more reserved. You know, it's easy for a young person to do what's right as long as all the other young people around them are doing what's right. Okay? You know when it's hard for a, you know what the test of a young person's character is for them to do what's right when no one else around them is doing what's right. Okay? That's the test of not just a young person. That's a test of my character, is to do what's right when no one else around me is doing what's right. It's the test to not laugh at a dirty joke when everyone else is laughing at the dirty joke. That's when it becomes a test, okay? It's easy to, you know, when you're never around that, be like, wow, I would never. You know, be careful about what you say you would never do. Because I think God has a way of presenting opportunities for that, okay? I think God wants to see, are we willing to stand for Christ? Are we willing to be bold for Christ? Peter said that he would never deny Jesus, and we see that here in the passage that we just read. But Peter did end up denying Jesus three different times. Why did Peter do what he said he would never do? There's just a few thoughts here, and then I'm going to dive into kind of some very, make it applicable as much as we can. Why did Peter do what he said he would never do? Well, Peter slept when he should have prayed. Matthew chapter number 26, verse number 36, the Bible says, Then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. This is immediately after Peter said, I would never deny thee. All right? And then Jesus goes and he says, can you guys sit with me and pray with me? Okay, and we know the story. They all slumbered and slept, and Jesus went a little farther and prayed, and he came back, and they were all sleeping, and so Jesus went back and he prayed more. Well, I want you to listen, because here's where I think, and this is where we're going to go in just a moment, here's where I think the nitty-gritty comes in. We can say things, and I know that Peter denied Christ verbally, but more often than not, it's not a verbal denial, it's an action in which we deny Christ, okay? And here's the other thought. You're going to deny something. I want you to think about that. You will deny something. When Peter didn't deny his flesh, what is your flesh, okay? We get up, you know, you've worked hard all day, they've been walking all day, and Jesus takes them to the Garden of Gethsemane and says, hey, would you guys watch with me for a while? Would you pray with me? All right, they're tired. You know what their flesh wants to do? Sleep. Okay? So at this point, here is a moment of denial. You either have to deny your flesh or you deny what Christ has asked you to do. One or the other, But it's still a moment of denial. Well, Peter failed, and they all did. Peter failed in this moment. Jesus had asked them, would you watch with me and pray? And they all failed at this moment. Okay, it wasn't just Peter. They all did. And so they failed because they didn't deny their flesh. And I'm going to show you that as we continue, that I think a lot of this is there is a moment of denial. You'll either deny what you said you will never deny, or you'll deny something else. But you'll deny something, okay? It's a choice. It's a choice that we do. Prayerfulness will strengthen us against temptation. Prayerlessness will weaken us, making us a target for temptation. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter catered to his flesh instead of strengthening his spirit in prayer. Matthew chapter 26. So Peter slept when he should have prayed. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 55. The Bible says, in that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Jesus ran when he should have stood. All right, and we talked about, I mentioned that briefly, about Peter did stand, more than the others, at least. And then thirdly, Peter followed from afar when he should have walked beside the Lord. Matthew chapter 26, look at verse number 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. All right, let me ask you, how far, you know, if we all would tout the fact that we are a follower of Christ, that's what a Christian means, is follower of Christ, Christ-like. How far are you following Christ up from? Think about it. How far behind Christ are you? Well, I'm a follower. Yeah, Peter was too. How far back are you? Because, you know, you can follow somebody from a long way away, but the only way to mimic someone and to really get to know that person and to have a relationship with that person, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? How are you going to let the life of Christ influence you if you're following from afar off? And in a very simple way, okay, your Bible reading. All right, Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, how far are you following Christ? Well, I'm a follower of Christ. I go to the church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. All right, so you followed Christ on Sunday. What about Monday? What about Tuesday? What about every day of the week? Okay, how far behind Christ are you? Afar off. Peter followed Jesus afar off. How close we are to Jesus will determine how bold we are to stand for him. All of us have to ask a question, how close am I to the Lord? Am I walking beside him? And where am I following him afar off? So we were, I love the trips that we take, because there are so many, there are so many applications that you can apply on these camping trips, that type of thing. This is the first river trip we've ever taken with the teen boys. And you can ask them, about the first thing I said when we got on the river, I said, guys, you need to watch the water. Okay? Watch the water. Because the water will tell you, Brother Tom grew up on the Eel River, the water will tell you what you can't see in the water. Okay? If there's a log under the water's going to change the way it looks. The water's going to change the way it moves. If the water's shallow, it's going to look different than the water that's deeper. And trust me, as low as the water was, you wanted to stay in the deeper water. Otherwise, you were pushing yourself out, or you're getting out and walking, okay? But you know what happens is, so somebody gets stuck on a sandbar, and you've got three of us that are way up ahead, and you learn from other people's mistakes. All right? If somebody failed and gets hung up, I'm not going that way. We're going to go this way. See you later. God bless. Right? But the problem is if you're not paying attention, if you're not looking at what's ahead of you, okay, and you didn't see somebody else go that way, all right, well, you'll make the same mistake. You'll go the same route. Or if you see somebody that's just cruising along and they're doing good, it's like, well, they're doing good. I'm going to follow them. But you know what? You have to be able to be with them. You have to be able to see them. It doesn't help if you're two bends back in the river and you can't see them. All right? You know what it is in life? Jesus, you know, the Bible says in Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The only way, okay, well, Jesus promised he's going to go through the shadow of the valley of death with me and these evil times. Okay, he did. But how far back are the sheep from the shepherd? Jesus is going through it. How far back are we? Okay? And some of that is our choice. Well, it just didn't feel like Jesus was near me. You know, I hear this from people that don't go to church regularly, that don't spend time in their Bible, that, you know, that absorb so much of the world and the world's music and the world's philosophy, and then they want to say, well, where was Jesus in my time of trouble? I promise you, and those of you in here that have been through hard times, and all of you have, you've been through a tough time, all right? How close you are to Jesus is how close Jesus is to you. But so many times we follow Jesus from afar off, and we fail to see the channel that Jesus went in, because why? Because we're too far back, all right? And we make a mistake, and we go down the wrong path because... why? Because I'm too far back. You know, hey, listen, folks, I want to be close. I want to be close. I want to be able to see. I want to be able to talk. And that's the other thing. You know, I can't talk. I mean, you can yell at somebody. But every time that you need something from God, do you have to yell at him? Or can you whisper to him? God, wait for me. Hey, God, can you help me today? All right. How close are you? How close are you? How far off are you from Christ? Peter was with the wrong crowd. We're looking at reasons that Peter denied Christ. Peter was with the wrong... so Peter followed from afar when he should have walked beside the Lord. Peter was with the wrong crowd, Matthew chapter 26, 58. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Here it was that Peter lingered. He lingered by the fire. He lingered with the servants. He was with the wrong crowd. And like I said, it's a whole lot easier to deny Christ when you're with the wrong crowd. Okay? Let's make sure we have the right friends, the right people that we associate with. Peter was afraid. Fifthly, Peter was afraid what would happen if they knew he was a disciple of Jesus. Peter was close enough that he could see what they did to Jesus. All right? If they were doing it to Jesus, they probably wouldn't hesitate to do it to him also. And you know what? There's that fear. There's that peer pressure, that fear that I'm going to be made fun of, I'm going to be mocked, something bad might... listen, we live in the United States of America. The worst thing that really happens to any of us is somebody snickers at us. Did you see them? Are you serious? That's the worst thing? And we won't proudly proclaim that we're a Christian because somebody laughs at us? Okay? People in other countries of this world today are living in fear of their lives, okay? And we're afraid someone's going to laugh at us. Really? Okay? But we'll still deny Christ. And listen, what I said earlier, denying Christ I don't think is many times a verbal thing. How many times have you actually been asked, are you a Christian? That you've been like, oh no, I don't know what to say. Most people, if you live your life... in a decent way, they know that you're a Christian. Okay? They may not, you know, there's a couple girls that work up in the South store on Menards, and they wear skirts all the time. And I've noticed, obviously, you know, it is a noticeable thing. And I asked the one the other day, I was like, hey, I appreciate you wearing a skirt all the time. There's not very many ladies that wear skirts anymore. Or I'm sorry, that's not what I said. I said, I appreciate you wearing a skirt. How did I word that? I appreciate you wearing a skirt. It is a good representation of being a lady, I think is how I worded it. And she said, well, thank you. I was like, where do you get to go to church? And she actually went to a Wesleyan church up there in Terre Haute someplace. And, but you know what? She wasn't ashamed of it. I could tell by what she was wearing that she had a certain, it may have not been my, you know, Baptist. I honestly figured she was like holiness or Pentecostal is kind of what I had thought. But she said she went to a Wesleyan church. Okay? But she didn't deny the fact. The way she looked, she didn't deny the fact. Okay? That's why it's important, folks, not just for ladies to look like a lady or a Christian, but guys, it's up to us. I think a man can look like a Christian also. Okay? It's not as maybe a defining thing, but I think we ought to look sharp. I think we ought to conduct ourselves. I think our speech, you know, the Bible says your speech bereath thee. Right. It shows who you are. Right. And the things that we say and the things that we laugh about, and you know, you don't have to laugh at a joke. You don't have to. Right. And they know when everyone else is laughing and you put your name there and you didn't laugh. That says something. That says something. And so, but I think a lot of the things that we do is an action. But how many times has somebody actually asked you, are you a Christian? You know what if somebody asked me, I'd be like, yes, I am. In fact, I'm an assistant at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jasonville. All right? I mean, I've had a few Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door, and I am very... I'm very kind to them. I don't berate them. I'm not mean to them. I feel like I ought to be very kind to them. All right. But it really never goes any farther than, yeah, I'm assistant Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jay. Oh, okay, great. Thanks. We'll see you later. That's usually about as far as it goes. Now I will talk to them if they want to talk. But, you know, how many times has somebody asked you if you're a Christian and been threatening to hurt you if you are? I think it was in Columbine. The one girl in Columbine, was it Columbine, Miss Eileen? The one girl in Columbine, the guys that went into Columbine and shot up Columbine, they asked the one girl, I think it was named Cassie or something. They asked her, are you a Christian? Would you deny Christ? All right. Now, how many of us have ever been asked that with a gun pointed? None of us that I know of. Maybe you have an exceptional story. None of us have ever been asked if we're a Christian with a gun pointed at us. But everyone's eyes ask us every day, are they a Christian? Everyone's ears ask us every day, are they a Christian? They may never come out and say it. It's interesting. I don't think I wrote the reference down. I just thought of this. I think it's in Joshua chapter 24 or 27, the end of Joshua. Joshua said, we're going to set this big rock up here under an oak tree. Listen to what he said. He said, so this rock can hear this oath that we have and whether you will deny Christ or not, or deny God. All right? Listen. It's not just the things you say, it's what people hear you say that isn't what you would call a denial. It's the things that they see you do that you would say, well, I'm not denying Christ. Are you? Okay? It's important to understand that, hey, it's not just somebody holding a gun to your head and saying, Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Christ? Okay? I would pray to God that if that came to that place in our country, that all of us, I think there's a certain grace that God gives in those moments, okay? You know, you look at the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you start flipping through that, and how many people were presented with that question, and a simple question, Will you deny Christ? No, I won't. I won't deny Christ. And repeatedly asked them, will you deny Christ? No, I won't deny Christ. And they were killed for it.
Right.
Okay? But we don't live there yet. We don't live there yet. Many times our denial is not in our words, but in our actions. Go to Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 16. Or 15, let's start 15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Listen, that this is where it hits home. In our mouth we profess, in our works we deny. Being in abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. Listen, it's the things that you do, folks. Are you denying Christ in the things that you do? All right? Because Christ, Christian means Christ-like. Christ-like. If I'm not Christ-like, I'm denying Christ in the things I do. All right? 1 Timothy chapter 5, I just looked up the word deny, denial. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, we see here a work that is associated with denial. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse number 7, the Bible says, and these things give in charge that they may be blameless, all right? Means that nobody can bring an accusation against you, all right? Daniel in the Bible was blameless. They couldn't find any accusation against Daniel except the fact that he prayed, all right? Verse number 8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath what? Denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. All right? Well, how did he deny the faith? By his actions. Okay? By his actions. 2 Timothy, you're in 1 Timothy, go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 5. Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. A form of godliness. Well, I'm a Christian, quote unquote Christian. But do you have the power of God? Do you have the power of being a Christian? Okay, ungodliness has to do with, having a form of godliness. So godliness is actions. All right, that's just things that you do. So listen, are we being a Christian in the things that we do, in the things that you say at the workplace, in the jokes that we listen? People watch your eyes, guys. People watch your eyes. They know what you just looked at. Okay? Now, Pastor Robert Ross, and I'm thankful. You know, Pastor Robert Ross always said, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from building a nest on top of it. All right? And listen, I understand we live in a filthy world, but they know what you just looked at and what your eyes lingered at. Okay? You know, we're going down the road, and listen, I know the teenagers that are with me watch what I look at. Okay? And if I look at something I'm not supposed to look at, what am I doing? I'm denying godliness. I'm denying Christ in the things that I just did. Okay? Titus chapter 2, we're here in Titus, or Timothy, Titus chapter 2, verse 12. The grace of God does this for us. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Going all the way back to the beginning of what I said at the beginning, you're going to deny something. You're either going to deny godliness or you're going to deny ungodliness. It's one of the other, okay? The grace of God teaches us in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, what should we do? We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're almost done. Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to read you these verses. What did Jesus say about it? In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24, the Bible says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Mark 8:34 says something very similar. It's repeated several times in the gospel. What did Jesus say? He said, you got to deny something. All right? You're going to deny me in the things that you do and the things you say, perhaps even straight up denying me, or you're going to deny yourself and ungodliness. All right? You can't live with both of them. All right? They are not bedfellows, okay? You can't live with both of them. You've got to deny one or the other. And listen, like I said, most of us, I don't think any of us have ever had somebody straight up persecute us where it requires us to deny Christ with our words. But how many times this past week have we denied Christ with the things that I've done, the things that I've looked at, the things that I laughed at? Okay? Because I don't think it's just a denial of Christ. But here's the good news. You know, Judas last week betrayed Christ. And he was stricken with conviction. He was stricken with grief. What did he do? He went out and hung himself. Peter was also stricken. When that cock crew that time, Peter was also stricken with grief. You know what he did? He went out and wept bitterly. He knew, I just denied Christ. And later on, he stood up and at the day of Pentecost and he preached to thousands. Okay? He learned from his lesson, said, never again am I going to deny Christ. He was, he's crucified upside down. I am not going to deny Christ. What did he do? He got it right. Listen, folks, I am so thankful for the grace of God. All right? I'm so thankful that God gives us another chance and that God doesn't say, well, you denied me once and it's it. You failed me. You didn't walk with me. That's it. No, God gives us, if the Bible says we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, folks, let's live our lives not denying Christ. But when we do, there's different things we do. Each one of us probably has our niche that it's easier for us to deny Christ in. But let's get it right. Let's get it right. I don't know where Peter was necessarily at the day of crucifixion, but I think he was somewhere close. I think he looked in Jesus' eyes. I think Jesus knew that there was remorse there. Okay? And Peter went on to do great things for God. And so let's keep those things in mind this week. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to give us to come to your house. Lord, thank you for the story of Peter. And God, Lord, how this great apostle, this great man of God, had a moment of weakness, Lord, but Lord, you used it in his life. Lord, I think that moment in his life changed him forever. God, I pray that you would just help us to learn, help us to live our lives not in denial of you, and help us be better for you as a result of it. In Jesus' name, amen.